Welcome to Onk Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onk Live On Air is a podcast from Onk Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onk Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Amgen, we pass the mic to Benjamin Levy, MD, the Clinical Director of Medical Oncology at Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Sibley Memorial Hospital, as well as an Associate Professor of Oncology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Levy moderated an Onk Live workshop discussion on next-generation sequencing in lung cancer. Dr. Levy was joined by Bhuvana Ramkumar, MD, a medical oncologist at Niagara Falls Memorial Medical Center in Niagara Falls, New York, and Neil Morgenstein, MD, a medical oncologist at the Overlook Medical Center Carol G. Simon Cancer Center in Summit, New Jersey. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Ramkumar and Morgenstein discussed the challenges they face with integrating and organizing a variety of molecular testing results into electronic medical records, how they address the topics of test results and treatment options with patients, and their hopes for the future of pathology at their institutions.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Benjamin Levy, and I'm Associate Professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and the Clinical Director for the Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center in the National Capital Region. Also happen to thankfully be a lung cancer doc. It's a pleasure for me to have joining me two community practice oncologists who can give their insights as to what's happening on the grounds with next generation sequencing and testing, given how important it is. So I'm joined here today by Dr. Bhuvana Ramkumar. She's in community practice affiliated with the Roswell Park area in Buffalo, and Dr. Neil Morgenstein, also in community practice, at Overlook Hospital in Summit, New Jersey. Integration of molecular testing into the EMR. I'm always curious how this is done. Even in our Epic EMR, which is supposed to be seamless and nice, it's been, you know, very difficult for us to find these results at times. So, Bhuvana, I'll start with you. How is this done? You send your molecular testing off, and then how does it get into the EMR?
Manually faxing, like we scan it in.
Okay, incredible.
We have Onco EMR, but we can't figure out how it can go directly in the EMR. I get the email and then my medical assistant can access it too. So she either calls or gets that printed out. The fax queue goes into the EMR, but not automatically. We have to queue it in into the EMR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always say it takes a village to treat a lung cancer patient, but it takes a village to get the result and put it in the EMR. Neil, your comment on this?
Yeah, it's the same way. It's pretty archaic. It gets scanned or faxed in. There's no direct and it goes somewhere. Okay. And hopefully you could find it either in media or under pathology. And then to get it into my node, it's using a snipping tool and you can't directly import it. I don't know if anybody has a better mechanism, but it's very labor intensive for such a critically important piece of information. It's using, you know, 1980s technology, and I don't know if there's a better way. I don't know if Epic has a relationship with Caris and or Foundation that it could get in there. Yeah. It would be nice, but it's pretty old school.
They're doing this. I mean, I think there's this ongoing interface and intersection between some of these diagnostic companies and EMRs to make this more seamless. I don't think we're there yet, but I know that some of these companies are starting to do that. I mean, never before has such important information not been prioritized in cancer to make treatment decisions. How often, Neil, are these results lost or never acted on, do you think? And what are the gaps in the process? I think you mentioned some of them.
Yeah, I'll tell you just a story. I mean, one of them just happened to me. So next generation sequencing was ordered by a pulmonologist, not by me. I've been taking care of the patient and, you know, things get lost. It never got scanned in the system. It never got sent to me. Somewhere along the way, it dawns on you. You're like, hey, what happened to this guy's next generation sequencing? He was pretty sick. So he got started on just chemotherapy by itself, carbo-M, but he got delayed. And it's very difficult, especially if you're not the ordering doctor. I don't know if anybody else has this. It may not come to you unless the ordering doctor happens to remember. You know, we're all very busy. Everybody has hundreds and hundreds of things in their inbox and things don't immediately come to you.
Yeah, good point. Bhuvana, just your experience with lost results and whether they're acted on or not?
Yeah, usually NGS, like I've ordered most of them. So like he said, if it's ordered by somebody else, like a pulmonologist or a thoracic surgeon, if they order it, it goes to them. And unless we realize they've ordered it, they have to let us know in their note or something. Or at least if they get the report, they should have the time to let us know their staff. Sometimes they tell their staff and then the staff tell our staff. They don't get a hold of somebody, they leave a message. And so that's when it can get lost. But majority of the times we are ordering it from our office. My medical assistant tries to track it for me, the NGS and the liquid.
Mm-hmm. Bhuvan, I'll stay with you. What are best practices with this? Should there be a standardization for those communities that send out, or even academic centers that send out? Should there be a standard process where the result is, first of all, formatted in the right way, and second of all, put in the right place? I mean, or is it kind of dealer's choice depending on which place you're at?
No, I think once the results come, like how other labs come, I think it should automatically come in into the pathology section. So, and then pops in our inbox, so we know it's there. Now we know the garden because they email us, and then I tell my MAO the results have been reported, and then she tracks it down and scans it in for me. But it'll be good for them to have a way, because there are few oncology EMRs, EPIC and ONCO and CPRS, and I don't think it's very hard for them to figure out a way where they can just send the report directly, because all of us have a radiology and a pathology section. All it has to do is they have to cue it in to come to the pathology section and pop in, and then we should be able to see it and act on it. I don't think it's really hard to do, but I'm not a EMR or that expert to comment on that, but I think it's doable.
Neil, any other comments on this?
So I think Guardant's got the best model. I mean, and so Guardant emails you. So all you need to do is get your email, and then at least it's on your mindset. Guardant has an app, which I don't think either one of Foundation or Caris has, at least as far as I'm aware of. Maybe it does. I'd be interested in that. But, you know, these are ones where you have access to it. We're on our phone. You could look up the patient, and then it's there in front of you. The Epic EMR, I mean, it's so massive and things just get lost in there. The Guardant app is great. I use it. I look at it. It's easy. It's nice. And it comes directly to me. It's hard to get into the EMR, but at least you as a physician know that you're getting the data and information.
Yeah, I would agree. The email is great. I love the Guardant emails. It's always exciting to get one of those.
Yeah, and then you go right on your app no matter what time of day it is, right? You
kind of, and it's easy. It pops right up.
It pops right up. So they've got it. I mean, and it's good.
Yeah, it is good. It's seamless too. It's easy. Neil, I'm going to stay with you. You know, we talked about how difficult this is to track down these results and where are they and how to interpret them. Talk a little bit, if you could, about the support you have. Do you have nurse navigators, nurse practitioners, administrative staff that not only administrative staff, that the nurse practitioners, nurse navigators that can help with this? I mean, we have a designated position here called a medical office coordinator, which is her or his primary role. Is this to sort of track these down and put them in the right place if we send it out? So just curious how you guys do it in Summit.
I have a personal assistant, and her main job is to track NGS, germline testing, all advanced testing that we do. She has a log, and she knows what's come in, when it's gone out, who it's gone out. She knows that if it's a couple of days, she needs to go yell at the pathology department. I give credit to any physician who could keep track of everything. But, you know, it's become almost, I don't want to say a full-time job, but a large part of her job is to track down NGS across tumor types. It's not just lung for us. You know, we send NGS on probably the majority of metastatic cancers.
Bhuvana, your experience and what you have there to support you?
Right now, my medical assistant, like she, that's one of her hats, trying to track everything, and especially all this Guardant and NGS and Oncotype for breast. She tries to track all that. So she keeps a log when we send them, and she tries to follow up in a couple of days and then the following week to update us on what came back and all that. But it's like it's more work for them because that's not the only thing she does. She has other things to do, and now it's additional work. So they get upset when it's more and more.
Right.
But the pay stays the same and the benefits stay the same, but they do more work.
The more that people are retiring for the great retirement for COVID, the more there's tremendous amount of responsibilities that medical assistants and nurse practitioners are having to shoulder, which is not easy. Let's talk about the actual results. And this is where it gets really tough. for plasma and tissue results. Is there a best molecular report? Neil, you mentioned you love the way foundation reports look. I do too. You know, what is it about that report that makes it easy? And should there be sort of a standard here?
Well, some of it is, you know, it's just I'm used to it. I've been using foundation for years, so I know my eyes know exactly where to go on the report. I think it gives you the options that you have available to you as far as targetable mutations. It's hard to miss something. Like I'm always afraid I'm going to miss something on some of the other reports. Caris, again, is fine. It's just, you know, when we're reading, you know, half a dozen different companies, you're just always afraid what you're going to miss. And some of the companies I don't love, you know, they'll give you something that's, quote, targetable, but not necessarily targetable in lung cancer, let's say, like PIK3 mutations or other mutations that you don't know exactly what to do with. I think a lot of it's just being used to it, and they have that little box, you know, it's just a very little box that your eyes go to that tells you what you need to pay attention to.
Right, that's good. I would agree that some of these reports are structured better than others. You know, how do you convey, Vivana, the results to the patient? Are the patients informed about what they need, and how do you convey that?
Yeah, usually when we run NGS or liquid biopsy, we tell them we are running more tests to see if they can go on an oral agent. That's one reason they are kind of okay to wait, because sometimes they are like, oh, we have gone through so much and now you're saying you have to wait for more testing, right? And then if you tell them there is a possibility you can go on an oral agent and you don't have to get a port and IV chemo, IV immunotherapy, then they are convinced, okay, we have to wait. Same thing that happens with breast cancer when we say Oncotype, they have to wait for the Oncotype DX results. They know there is a chance they don't have to go on chemotherapy based on those results. They're okay. That reason kind of convinces them to wait to an extent, maybe a week or two to wait for those results. So, and then when we get the results, say, hey, this is what the results show. You have this mutation, so you can go on the drug. It's FDA approved, and we go over the results. And then if there is no targetable mutation, then we tell them what we are going to do, immunotherapy, chemoimmunotherapy.
Neil, your thoughts on how patients receive this information? Do they know about the next generation sequence? Is there an educational piece?
Patients are usually pretty overwhelmed. They kind of have this hope for a pill. They have this vague notion that there are some targetable mutations. But in all fairness, when I tell them that we're going to run, you know, further testing on the tumor DNA, most people glaze over. And, you know, we're in a pretty highly educated population. I think it's exceedingly difficult for patients to understand. We just said in the beginning, there's 10 different mutations. We use them in different lines of therapy. I could speak for myself. I'm struggling to keep up with all the new mutations. It's just enough to say, look, we need more testing. And, you know, if there's something targetable, we'll be able to treat you with an oral medication.
Do you guys have molecular tumor boards that you use at times, or are those available or accessible to you?
So we had a very successful molecular tumor board pre-pandemic, and post-pandemic, it kind of fell apart a little bit. You know, we present the vast majority of our cases in our thoracic tumor board, and thoracic tumor board tends to be the most molecularly, you know, valuable arena. So we present the majority of them there. We don't have a dedicated molecular either physician or pathologist on site, which would be nice. I mean, if we had somebody a monthly or bi-monthly for, sometimes you get weird mutations and, you know, we're all Googling and we're all searching, but it would be nice to have somebody to bounce it off of.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive on Air, sponsored by Amgen. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive on Air.